Dear brothers and sisters, I really happy and indeed great honor talk such big crowd. So firstly, I want to express my appreciation the concerned organization of people who invited me here. I think mainly meeting with you. I think I visit, I think, this place, what God called Austin.
Austin.
Austin, I think first time. Of course, Houston, I have been few occasions, I think 3 or 4. I think here maybe first time. So, naturally, I think most of you, I think first time meeting. So I want to tell you that I'm nothing special. We are saying I'm one of you, just like that. Of course, I'm not American, but otherwise we are same human being. So therefore, mentally, emotionally, even physically, we are same. So, while I am talking to you, I just feel I am talking to another human being. And although first time meet, but as I mentioned earlier, mentally, emotionally, we are same. Therefore, according to my own sort of experience, I know you as another human brother, sister. And then, another thing, we, everyone, have the feeling of I. So sometimes it's difficult to pinpoint what is I, right?
What is me?
What is
that self? What is that thing we call I?
But by nature we have this strong feeling of I. On that level, on that basis, by innate, we have desire, happy life, and successful life. And we have desire to overcome problems. So because of that, feeling is something very natural. Therefore, we all have the right to have happy life. That's our goal. And also I believe the very purpose of our life, I feel happy life.
Happiness.
So, and the theme should.
The theme of my talk this evening is individual responsibility in the global community.
Although I think we human beings and other animals have sort of same desire, and basically we all living beings have same right to exist happily, exist without disturbances. Even I think plants also, they have certain right to exist. But then we human beings, See, we have this very remarkable human intelligence, thinking power, right? So this intelligence, I think unique about a human being, that intelligence sometimes very helpful to achieve that goal, a happy life or happiness. So sometimes that intelligence disturbs more. And sometimes because of a lot of hopes and doubts at the imagination, right? Therefore sometimes more disturbance in our mental life. I think animal, from that viewpoint, I think animal may be happier. Well fed and no immediate threat, and then remain very peacefully. We need not only just the food and shelter, these things, but we need a lot of other things. So a lot of expectations, a lot of doubt. Many cases, unrealistically, a lot of suspicion, a lot of hope, a lot of fear. As a result, physically, very comfortable, but mentally, very unrest. Because of our intelligence. So that's, I think, basic human nature. So, according to common sense, of course, these human intelligence now should be utilized for better life. That intelligence should not be causing more problem. So now the basically, we are social animal. And then secondly, today's reality of the whole world, of the world, is something new. I think new reality. In previous time, America, of course, isolated. Both sides, big ocean. So this continent more or less isolated. So at that time, of course, each nation, you see, they manage entirely, what's it?
On their own.
Now today, not only nation to nation, but also continent to continent, heavily interdependent. So look, global economy. Now there, national boundary is not much meaning. And also ecology and energy. I think water resources. I think many things. Now whole world becoming like one entity or one unity. One unit. So that's a new reality. So under that circumstances, our concept, we and they, as something distanced, right? Yes. Distanced, we and they. Now that no longer there.
Relevant.
No longer relevant. Logically, I think now time has come to look whole world as a part of yourself. So therefore, I usually is telling people, now we need a sense of global responsibility. Each of us, the part of the 6 billion human beings. Then each of us naturally should have a sense of concern about humanity, because humanity happy, peaceful, friendly, compassionate, we each individual get maximum benefit. If humanity more turbulence, where?
No.
More crisis, then each individual will suffer. That's very clear. And then another thing, I think psychologically, right? Psychologically, think oneself, extreme self-centered sort of attitude. Then although, you see, that extreme, you see, the self-centered sort of, because of the thinking, of course, you see, that person take maximum care about oneself. But in reality, think just oneself. That attitude narrowing our mental attitude,
vision.
Right, our vision. Just small center, small circle. So within that, even small problems appears something very big. If our mental attitude broadened, think about the world, think about humanity, entire humanity, our mind become wider, widened. It's a very broad mind, very broad
perspective.
Broad perspective. So in it, one's own problem, even serious problem, appears not much significant. So much easier to bear or to face it. Even some now, the modern medical scientists, one time, I think near in New York,
mm-hmm.
So one occasion, we have some discussion about our health. One physician showed a sort of
data,
or the data those individuals who often use word me, mine, I, and such person have greater risk of heart attack. Why? Although that person, of course, they are sort of supreme concern, right?
Although these individuals who disproportionately use the first person pronouns, although their primary concern is one's their own welfare.
That's, I think, reflection of their mind. So they are mentally always think oneself. But then reality, more problems, more suffering. So I think psychologically, think more other. And in reality, you get more benefit. And then another thing, from the health viewpoint also, peace of mind is a very important factor for health. Right?
Good health. Yeah.
For good health. So compassion or warm-heartedness or the thinking more wider interest. Mind, as I mentioned earlier, is not focusing just one small area, but thinking about larger way. As a result, you see, you develop more inner strength. Now, I think it is quite clear. When think oneself, then just know that. Then under that circumstances, if some problems happen, then yes, that problem overwhelming on you, then you get the feeling of because of that sense of loss, right? Sense of loss, right? That rather check sort of
sense of hopelessness.
But then the compassionate attitude, sense of concern of other. Now that emotion or that person, that attitude, that mental state, actually, not only just one's own problem, but also develop sense of concern of other. That means you voluntarily looking others' concern. So that way of thinking brought more inner strength. More inner strength, more self-confidence. As a result, less fear. So the person then get more peace of mind. If we experiment, I think we can see that reality. So therefore, the more peace of mind, very good for health. So that much, according to my own experience, I can share with you. Where? Oh, large number of people. Do you think some sense? Okay. Too much light. Oh, better than I can see more people. How it looks? Okay. So therefore, the think about global sort of interest or global concern is actually immense benefit to individual oneself. You know, I'm Buddhist. My practice, of course, always pray the happiness or well-being of entire sentient being. So that kind of training is actually very, very helpful. But at a practical level, sometimes I come across some mosquitoes. Difficult. Or bad bark. Particularly when I have sound sleep, some bad bark. Or the mosquito. Like that. Yeah. Then sometimes I really get because of the serious disturbances. But generally, you see, that kind of prayer, that kind of, training of mind is immense benefit. I think now 70-year-old person, this physical, I think served now 70 years. Seems still okay. So I think, of course, the medical care also is there, but I think one major factor is, I think, peace of mind. Although I cannot claim, say I have some very high spiritual experience or such things, I am nothing, just ordinary human being who try to cultivate altruistic mind, simply like that. So even small sort of experience and the enthusiasm to cultivate these things are immense benefit. So therefore, now here, of course, large number of people as they came to hear my talk, I really afraid
it makes me feel a little bit afraid because I have nothing special to share with you.
I have nothing to offer to you. Nothing. accept some of my own experience, which is very useful in my life or my daily life, that I want to share with you. So they think about global responsibility. Firstly, individual oneself, you see, get I think very very much benefit. Then, in reality also, as I mentioned earlier, due to many factors, now world becoming smaller and smaller. Under that circumstances, now we really need the global global consciousness. And our economy, or environment issue, and many fields. Now we need, you see, that kind of global consciousness or sense of global responsibility that help us to develop or to bring more holistic sort of view. Now the reality, everything interdependent. That's the reality. But in our mind, sometimes we just pick up one cause or one factor, not clearly see the other factor. So, accordingly, we deal with one factor. But in reality, not only that, but many other factors. As a result, our approach is in reality not realistic. We just have left many other factors, pick up just one factor, and deal with that. I think many fields in politics or international relations, I think including international relations or environment issue and many issues, I think due to lack of holistic view, some unnecessary problems is often rise. So then I want to now since these things are concerning about our mental level, I think the community or people who materially advanced, often see people feel or sort of I think false hope. The all our problem can solve with material development, and all our through material development we will get maximum satisfaction. I think that's wrong. Simply, we have this physical, and with this physical we have this mind and emotion. So as I mentioned earlier, as far as physical requirement is concerned, material facilities provide us all the maximum requirement, maximum satisfaction. But since, as I mentioned before, since we have this human intelligence, so certain unhappiness or certain anxiety which created by human intelligence, now there the material facility cannot help or to reduce that kind of sort of anxiety or that kind of stress. That kind of a problem. So the problem which created by a mental level, we must find answer from mind itself. So therefore, it is of course very useful. Usually we take care about the matters, then analyze which useful, which is sort of harmful. So similarly, it is useful to look inward, and especially field of emotion. There are positive or negative. Here the positive and negative, I think they demarcate, because of that. On basis of positive and negative. Now here I'm talking just the secular things, nothing to do with religion. Therefore, the basis of positive and negative is, I think, thing which bring us happiness or comfort. That is positive, because we want that. The thing which bring us pains or difficulties or suffering, that is negative, because we do not want these things. I think that's the basis. So therefore, among the emotion, some emotion are extremely useful to bring inner strength or happiness or calm mind. Some emotions are as soon as that emotion comes, our mind disturbed and unhappy. So, like external matter, I think make distinction among the different emotions. That's important. Nothing to do with religion. Just the train of mind and karma.
Just a matter of training the mind and also getting to know the nature, the reality of one's emotions better.
So there are different emotions. Some emotion, such as, I think, strong feeling of others' welfare, right? Or others' right, or these things. You see, sometimes, you see, even tears come. You see, that kind of emotion is, genuine compassion. From the strong feeling of genuine compassion, sometimes tear comes. So there is strong emotion. But these emotions come through training, through reasoning. Some emotions, such as strong attachment or anger, these emotions are not come through training, but correct.
Instinctual.
So, generally speaking, those emotions which come through training, through reasoning, usually positive. And those emotions which
comes instinctually,
generally speaking, harmful. Like, for example, attachment. Attachment, actually, Kasoda, the chakwa jibi zane, chakwa jibi lotigi, and I use chakwa jigla, mixu sani, yidonga tonde, yidonga tonde at the noyo nezulia, yidonga chak, dasa kutusi, dodasha. Daganashin kondo sai zane, kondo sase, you mitugoti, tong, modoti, modo, modo, kasoda, noyo nezulia,
If you analyze the nature of your experience of emotions such as strong attachment, you will observe within that experience of attachment a kind of a certain projection of quality of desirability of the particular object that you feel drawn towards. And in that experience, even some mental scientists point out there is a exaggeration of almost 90% of the quality. Similarly, when you feel anger towards a particular object or hostility, again, in that emotion, the quality that you see of undesirableness of that particular person or object, again, there is an exaggeration of over 90%. And this is something even the mind scientists even acknowledge today.
Recently, I met one old, I think, psychotherapist or something. Over 80 years old, very experienced. I met in Sweden. I have some discussions. He told me like that. So there's some Buddhist psychology also mentioned that. Of course, now this, not as a religion, but just part of training of mind. You see, the explanation about emotion there. So that's I usually consider Buddhist science, not religion. It is useful, you see, to analyze our inner world. Sometimes, you see, we exploring outer space, I think with billions of money, right?
Dollars.
Dollars. I think worthwhile to carry more exploration, this small inner space. There are really a lot of things here. Think more our inner world, then you will find inner values. I think that inner value really makes you more happier. Another way to look this. Now, the happiness, satisfaction, is a mental attitude.
State of mind.
Huh?
It's a state of mind.
Therefore, the mental function is the prerogative. Kanda, it is that, nang thawajik shi. Shere thawajik the kinshiru itisane,
When we speak about our happiness or human happiness, we can only understand the concept of happiness on the basis of a human experience of feeling and a state of mind. Therefore, when we speak of happiness, we cannot try to understand it externally.
I wanted to share the several thousand people here. Usually, of course, everybody, you see, taking concern more about your comfort in your own house and your earning or your fame or your job, like that. I think worthwhile to think at least few moments in a word. And as I mentioned earlier, exploring our inner space. I think you'll get some benefit. Then through that way, our mind becoming more calm, more stable. Under that circumstances, with that, then some shocking news or some tragedy. If your basic mental attitude is calm, strong, then these unfortunate events, of course, may disturb some extent, but will not, as of that, bring some trauma or some
So, when you have that kind of basic stability of the mind, of calmness, then when you confront adversities and tragedies, although, of course, it will naturally disturb you, but that disturbance would not be drastic and radical.
This Tibetan saying, if bad news come this year, then let go out from this side. So your basic mental state, remain calm, not much disturbed. Then secondly, whenever we come, because of the
And secondly, whenever we confront adverse situations, one thing that is very important and helpful is to try to look at the same event from different angles.
Everything is relative. Therefore, any event, there are many different aspects. So one aspect could be very bad, very painful. But the same event, if you look from another angle, you may see some positive elements. That usually I do. As some painful experience happen, or some some very serious situation is facing, then try to look at that from different angle. Then there is often a possibility to see some positive aspect. Then also, the kyenye chungpe pedula, ko tiya samu yawishtantu na, kyenye di simshu kyeya da, si kyenye di ki labjanaya da liyo.
And sometimes, when we confront situations of adversity and tragedy, and if we can handle, rise to the challenge properly, sometimes it is possible that as a result of that tragedy and challenge, we can learn something, we can grow ourselves, and sometimes it can become an opportunity. So the marvelous intelligence that we human beings are gifted with, if we can employ it skillfully and correctly, not only will it enable us to cope with tragedies and adversities more effectively, but in fact it can enable us to creatively transform these adversities into positive opportunities as well.
So that's about, you see, the kind of the reason and the global sometimes where
So these are the various premises upon which I promote the idea of global responsibility on the level of individuals.
Now I want to tell you some of my basic, or say the commitments. Two commitments. One, number one, my commitment is promotion of human value, which I already briefly talked or explained. Our inner value, inner strength, these are very, very helpful to sustain peace of mind, and through that way, happy life, successful life. I think it is quite clear. Our intelligence by birth utilized properly, then we have every capability to overcome problem. But in order to utilize that, we should be realistic. Now, in order to see the reality clearly, and in order to approach more realistic way, now this afflicted emotion is one of the obstacles. So I think the most destructive element of the afflicted emotion is you can't see the because of that reality. This one thing. Then I think basically, I believe human nature is more gentleness, more compassionate. The reason mother gave me mutine, Zawa Sadi, Malaya Zawa Chata, Man Kulu Zawa Chati, Lord Chang Choma,
from the very day of our birth, we experience and express affection and love on the part of the child towards the mother, and on the part of the mother towards the new child, newborn child. And this is something that we were not taught and trained. Rather, we do it naturally from the very day of our birth.
Then also, anger, aggressiveness, these also part of our mind, but these occasionally come, not permanently. So therefore, although these negative emotions also part of our mind, but not dominant. The dominant is human affection. Why affection come from by naturally, right?
By birth.
By birth, 서야 돼 모두가.
Because it's the crucial factor for human survival, survival of the human being.
Now, I often used to wondering, some animals, some like butterfly or some turtle, you see, the mother lay down their egg. Then, like butterfly, the mother often and soon die. The turtle, the mother then left. So I think the offspring of them, I think they never meet, right? Never meet, you see, their mother. So because of that nature, I think these offspring, if we put together their mother and offspring, I don't think they have the ability to show affection one another. Because, you see, nature creates that way, they have to survive by themselves, not depend on others. So other animal, like
like those mammals who are sustained by mother's milk,
and also birds, you see, their survival entirely depend on their mother, who are feeding them. So in such case, you see, they by nature, just instinctively, right? There's some kind of closeness feeling come, because it depends their survival. So we human beings belong to this category. So therefore, these are basis of our survival. And therefore, I think whole life, human affection, is, I think, very, very important element. When we are little grown up in school, where if teacher shows affection, in the home, parent shows affection, then those children, I think, much happier. And their physical growth also become very good. Their mind also remain clear, so their study is better. Other hand, those children in school, teacher not showing affection, but sometimes beating or lack of sadhana. And in the classroom, something cold. And home also, the parent either divorce or just one parent. And the parent also very busy carrying work and nobody looking them. I think in the atmosphere in the home, cold. I think then these children, I think, suffer very immensely. So physically suffer, mentally suffer. The worst thing is when these children become elder, I think they feel very difficult, I mean, they find it very difficult to show compassion or affection to others because their own,
upbringing.
So therefore, at the young age, affection is very, very crucial to not only survival, but to sustain these good values, good qualities of human being. Then, obviously, when we sick, when we visit hospital, the physician may be very, very expert, but without a smile and treated you like a machine, sometimes we feel, oh. Even that doctor may carry some experiment on me, that kind of feeling sometimes happens. But if the doctor or physician and nurses really treat you as a brother, sister, with genuine human feeling. And we feel much happier, safer. I also have the same experiences when I visit some
doctors,
hospitals like that. So, then I think at the time of death, this last event of one life, so at that time, the dying person, surrounded by friend, trusted friend, family, trusted. Then the person, of course, in reality, now not much sort of differences whether you see they're surrounded by close friends or not. Not much differences, but emotionally or mentally, I think, big differences. So therefore, the rule of compassion, affection, from the birth till death, very
constant.
Very constant, very important. Anger, jealousy, spirit of fight, these occasionally come, but not the kasada, dominant.
No. Yeah. Not the most constant emotion.
Then another thing, anger, suppose come to kasada. So sungjeob chhajna
ibu sirdwa. Anger generally is supposed to come to help you to protect yourself.
So some cases, I think anger protect you. As I mentioned earlier, mosquito come. If without anger, remain very patient, then you may suffer more. But some kind of the harsh attitude and expel. Of course, especially the area where malaria there, then of course it protected you. Yeah. But here, I think the kasoda, kongdu, chokchubu to the yine, kongdu, sawarutiya, tembenyezu thongya
tilu. So although anger can protect you in some situations, but basically anger also comes in the way of seeing the reality more clearly. It is because of this, when you take decisions in the heat of anger, these decisions are often the wrong ones.
I also sometimes lose my temper. So I use the harsh words. When anger disappears, my mind becomes normal, then I really feel shy to meet that person. I already now spoke very harsh words. So that means my normal mind do not want that. But when anger develops, then normal mind no longer functions properly. So like that, often mistakes should take place. Therefore, the anger, although brings some energy, but that energy is blind energy. Because of that, destructive. Self-destruction. The anger ki chayagi, chawati, anger mevathal, dumzen samtani, ngayi nizhru timbe, lancha, dende yungri.
In actual fact, those functions that are normally performed by, you know, intense emotions like anger, actually these functions can be performed without resorting to anger, and actually more, in a more intelligent and skillful way.
So now, clear distinction, compassion, affection, sense of concern, sense of care, and anger, hatred. I think this is very important in order to be more peaceful individual and more peaceful family, peaceful community, and ultimately peaceful world. So, it is quite sort of encouraging now peace movement on this planet. I think quite great. When Iraqi crisis about to happen, then millions of people from Australia up to America, you see the people, such a big number, you see, come. and showing their opposition to violence. I think they, unlike in the First World War, Second World War, during that period when nation declare war, all the citizens proudly joined the war effort. But since the Vietnam War, no longer that. I think the humanity becoming more mature. So the peace movement really now very strong. Still, I think the just sort of the against war is not sufficient. We must promote the spirit of dialogue. Whenever we face some problem, some disagreement or some conflict, they also part of us, part of the world. The total destruction of them is not sensible. We must respect them and listen their views, their complaint, and talk. Therefore, I think while we are promoting world peace, we must promote some mechanism to achieve peace, a peaceful solution. That's, I think, very important. For that, we need inner strength, self-confidence, political will. On the basis of holistic view and more calm mind. So, number one. Another thing, now today, they get rich and poor. On global level, there are a lot of differences. The northern world, you have surplus, and southern world, particularly in Africa, people who are really facing starvation. Very sad. And also within the nation, like the United States, the richest country, within America, some small pockets, very poor people still there. So one time I expressed in Washington, the capital of the richest country, most powerful country, but in what we call suburbia.
In some inner city pockets of the capital itself?
Some poor people. So, because of this gap, rich and poor, then this is not only morally wrong, but practically also source of problem. So that also, I think, due to lack of sense of concern of others' rights, others' sort of well-being, and I think lack of the sense of community. So this is another thing. Another thing, ecology. I think ecology, if you think just your own room, then there's, because of that, not much sort of seriousness. But when even your own room finds difficult to breathing or something like that, then may be too late. Therefore, the issue of environment, I think we should have.
Again, issue of environment requires this wider perspective, the global perspective.
Then, what's the energy crisis? And many challenge Mongolian the sense of global responsibility.
So similarly, in many areas where we as humanity confront challenges, again global sense of responsibility becomes a key factor.
So that's my number one commitment, to promote human value. I feel with inner value, with inner strength, I think we become better equipped to face these problems. The number two, my commitment is promotion of religious harmony. I am Buddhist, I am believer. So of course, the all major religious tradition have different concept or different philosophy, but all carry same message of love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, contentment, self-discipline, and so on. Therefore, Chulu Kharakhaini, Tawe Charukchik, Taduk Charukchik, Nyamling Charukchik, Niyelanani, Tadur Mithuyati, Nyamling Chikarekwa.
So, if you look at the world's great religious traditions, we can see two dimensions or two aspects to each of these traditions. You have the philosophical aspect of theology, philosophy, and so on the one side. Then you have the aspect of practice and precepts and experience. So although on the level of philosophy and theology there might be differences, but on the level of practice and the, particularly the ethics, there is a convergence.
So, and therefore, all religion have same potential to serve humanity, to help humanity. And different philosophy, different concept is necessary because among the humanity, so many different mental dispositions. Therefore, we need variety of method or variety of, what's it, way of approach in order to strengthen these basic human values. So therefore, all major religions have same ground and same potential. So on the basis of understanding that, we can develop we can develop real closer understanding. Now in this respect, I think I made a little contribution, closer understanding. So that's very important, because religion now, 21st century, I think still various, when people facing desperate. Now, for example, they listened also today, hurricane sort of disaster, as well as September 11th sort of event, when people totally sort of shocked and lost, because that's hope. And during that moment, I think religious belief provides hope. And
Religious beliefs can provide a source of hope and some kind of emotional anchor.
So therefore, all major religion talks about, as I mentioned earlier, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, these things. If people who claim believer, they practice sincerely, seriously, the religious concept is really helpful to bring inner peace. So therefore, one way, various religious traditions still have important role, and at the same time, different religions also causing more divisions, sometimes conflict. Therefore, closer relation between different traditions is extremely important. So that's my second commitment. So, now several thousand people here, if you feel these concepts or these views is something interest, then think more, further investigate, and carry experiment on your own day-to-day life. And if you think, these ideas are not much interest, then forget it. No one imposing you. So, just like that. So that's about my talk. Now, some questions. Yes, some questions now. Question.
These were the questions submitted by email. Peace be with you. Human on human violence happens all around us. Our many conflicts following the disaster of September 11 have brought these violent human tendencies out in our country. This has led me to question our government's actions and my own. What can I, as peace-seeking individuals, do to help reduce the tension created by human violence?
I think some man-made problem which we are facing, including these terrorism. I think something like symptom of the past negligence or past mistake.
Many of the crises that we are confronting, such as the rise of terrorism, are in fact symptoms of negligence in the past. So when they actually strike, at that instant, there is nothing that one can do.
Just after the September 11th event happened, some reporter asked me about my view. And that time I expressed, oh, these things may be related with past century, 19th century, 20th century. See, some, what's it, east, west, modern, rather,
traditional.
Modern and tradition. And this religion, that religion, all these are, I think all these things I think are due to lack of closer relations, I feel. Then other side develop some kind of suspicion and jealousy and eventually more frustrations. So, very difficult. So now the countermeasure, these sad thing is, I think it's two levels. One level, immediate countermeasure. That's various government and leaders take measures.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes may not be correct, but it takes. But now I think as a public level, I think very, very important to take measure for long run countermeasure. I think that's try to build happier society, more compassionate society, whenever some disagreement comes through dialogue, peaceful resolution. I think that we must have that.
Promote.
And these things should be part of our
concern. So as individuals, members of the public, we need to create a condition in the world where whenever we confront crises, our instinctual response would be to try to resolve that conflict through dialogue and negotiation.
Especially our younger generation. I think especially students, even from kindergarten, I think it is very, very essential to teach them whenever some problem happens, the best way, a human way to solve that is dialogue. I do some kind of training, some kind of that, education, from kindergarten, then so on.
Beginning from the kindergarten level upwards.
So our next generation, our younger generation, I think we should equip in their mind, whenever they see some problem, some conflict, then they automatically, their sort of response is how to solve this through talk. I think that's important.
How would you define empathy and its place in U.S. society?
Yes, sir.
Its place in U.S. society.
What is that point? That's all. American society, also human society. I think American also born same human way. So the empathy or compassion is very necessary. Very necessary. Like you see, in New York or Los Angeles, a lot of people, but sometimes, you see, some people among the millions of American, but in deep inside, loneliness. Why? Unhappy. Individual could be billionaire, but inside, the self, very unhappy. I met some professors or some, some rich family, remember? Of course, they have everything, but when we met, at the beginning, this exchange nice words as usual. Then eventually, when the real sort of discussion is to take sort of the start, there are a lot of complaint, a lot of inner sort of that, stress,
unhappiness.
Okay,
unhappiness.
So again, this shows, I think, lacking human compassion or human values. This I feel. Of course, American society or Indian society, Chinese society, European society, I think it's the same. On the superficial, yes, there is a differences. When I talk American audience, they usually is more that kind of. Sometimes you express more sort of that. More easily.
They kind of slow.
When I talk with British, Englishmen in England, when I talk, even sometimes I joke, they do not laugh easily. So there's differences. Otherwise, you see, they all are same.
As an engineering student here at the University of Texas, we are taught with the understanding that every problem can have a practical, obvious solution depending upon how we best situate the givens. The war in Iraq is a controversial given. What do you recommend our government for a possible solution or a compromise?
Oh, that is beyond my wisdom. Very difficult. Of course, September 11th, this unbelievable event happened. The next day, 12th September, I wrote a letter to the President Bush. Because since he became President, I had opportunity to meet with him. So I know him, therefore I wrote a letter to him. While I express my condolence, and I also express the best way to take countermeasure for these terrible thing should be more peaceful, more non-violent way. That I expressed. But then you know, like in the past events in the 20th century, I think Second World War, although immense violence, but protected or saved Western civilization.
European
civilization. Then Korean War saved South Korea. Not only freedom, eventually democracy and prosperity. But Vietnam War, same motivation, same goal, but totally failed. So the Afghan crisis seems, I think, some positive result now coming. But the Iraq case, I think, too early to say. So eventually history will show this as a violent method produce some positive or negative. Only history shows. At the moment, I think too early to say. But of course, the American, I think, motivation and goal for democracy, open society, prosperity, of course, right. But method, of course, any violence, unpredictable. Although your motivation is sincere, as I mentioned earlier, the Vietnam War, sincere motivation, but because method, the violence. So I think the 세월 탑시디 그 생일로 찍디 unpredictable
일로. One of the characteristics of a violent method is its unpredictable nature.
Once you commit it, it easily can cool. become out of control. Because of the violence, counter-violence, another violence, more violence, more violence. And more casualty. More casualty, more hatred. It's sad. Very sad. Some occasion I express, if you handle not properly, then today, one Bin Laden. After some time, 10 Bin Ladens, then 100 Bin Ladens, possible. So therefore, now these are long run very much related with human emotion, the negative emotion. Then now this terrorist act, just few individuals can carry with modern equipment. Then these things, really terrible, really terrible. Now, of course, difficult. But I think long run, the only method is change here. That's the only way.
I'm from mainland China, and I'm feeling so lucky to ask you questions here. Do you have any plan to go back to Tibet soon? If yes, what kind of welcome do you expect you will receive?
I already asked Chinese government, you know, since last 3 years, we renewed direct contact with Chinese government. So now, so far, 4 meetings already took place with Chinese officials. So we already asked, it's my desire, at least one pilgrimage in China, because since my since 1954, when I was there in China, I asked Chinese government, one of my wish or desire is to visit, you know, I think the questioner knows the Wu Taishan, the 5 peaks of mountain. That traditionally Mongolian, Tibetan, and also Chinese, you see, they believe, you see, that is a very sacred place of Manjushri. So therefore, I, at that time, I expressed my desire to the Chinese government. Then, of course, at that time, I think it is true, the road is not good. So the concerned officials say the road is bad, so next time. So now, that next time, now, almost, I think almost 50 years now passed. Almost 50 years passed. So, again, this time, I expressed my desire on pilgrimage. But then officials say, this is more, not easy. So the official, replied to my representative, they should report to the superior. So, like that. And return to Tibet. Of course now, they are stuck. At the very purpose, why we remain outside as a refugee. The 59, not due to civil war among ourselves, or not due to nature disaster, but some political reasons. So therefore, we become political asylum in India. So one, actually in 1973, 74, we make up in our mind, in India, sooner or later, we have to talk with Chinese government. So then, the question of independence, of course, out of question. And for our own interest, for material development, remain within the people of China. It's our own interest. Therefore, we decide some dialogue or some contact develop with Chinese central government, then our position is try to establish meaningful autonomy within the People's Republic of China. So since our side, we made our mind and finalized. Therefore, around 79, beginning of 79, the central government signaled us green light. So then at once we responded. And my personal emissary visited China and fortunately met late Deng Xiaoping. And Deng Xiaoping stated, besides independence, anything can be discussed. Of course, our side, we already decided that. So since then, you see, we developed this direct contact. And 1979 and 80, some delegations, something like fact-finding delegation visited Tibet. I think four or five delegations visited. And my personal emissary visited China more than 12 times. Then in early 80, the Chinese government gave us five-point proposal, mainly about my return. And we told them, this is not issue. The issue is 6 million Tibetan people's basic right. Their welfare, well-being, right?
No.
Their well-being. So once that issue tackled, then about 150,000 Tibetan refugees, including myself, and automatically, will
return.
And now, for example, the Dalai Lama's institution, as early as 69, I officially stated the institution of Dalai Lama, whether should continue or not up to Tibetan people. And meantime, 92, another my official statement, I stated, when time come about our return to Tibet or to People's Republic of China with certain degree of freedom, then I will hand it over all my legitimate authority to the Tibetan local government. That local government should be, hopefully, democratic government while we are in India. Now around 92 or 91, we already achieved elected political leadership. Our exile government had the political leadership through election. Now we already have elected political leadership. Since then, my position is the semi-retired position. So I am very happy. I have more free time. So that also actually, you see, now stable. Now it's no longer dependent struggle on one individual. Even I die today, yes, we already have sort of elected whole sort of body or system. So every 5 years, the election will take place. So that's the Tibetan situation. So recently, the fourth meeting with Chinese officials took place in Switzerland, in Chinese embassy in Bern. The nature of the talk or meeting from first, second, third, fourth seems some progress. But up to now, our main effort is to build confidence, not sort of serious sort of discussions. So we'll see. The Chinese government still consider me as a splitist and doing all sorts of, because of the negative thing. So I think Chinese government may feel our meeting here also was what called conspiracy there.
Conspiracy, yeah.
So they always accuse I become instrument of Western anti-Chinese forces. So maybe our audience is part of Western anti-Chinese forces.
In our lifetime, should we devote ourselves primarily to achieve world peace or to achieving inner peace within ourselves?
Usually I call internal disarmament and external disarmament. Firstly, cultivate compassion within ourselves and reduce anger, hatred. So that is the task of inner disarmament. Then that gradually lead genuine external disarmament. First step, this world should be free of nuclear weapon. Then eventually, I think the military, because of the military forces, I think should reduce. Like, you know, I think there are two ways. Sometimes I suggested to the public, in Europe, till Second World War, France and Germany like enemy. Arch enemy,
right? Arch enemy.
One of my best friend, my respected best friend, and also I consider as my tutor about quantum physics, one German professor, the von Weizsäcker. Now he's too old now. I have great admiration. I have great admiration because he loves me. So I really sort of respect. Once he told me, when he was young student or young professor, then every German's eye, French is enemy. Now later part of his life, now no longer that, French is their best close friend. Like that. So these are big changes. So therefore, the Franco-German unified forces there. I think that's the best guarantee. No longer any danger of conflict between these two nations. So, on the regional basis, some unified forces. One time, sometimes I suggested the European Union headquarters eventually should be in Moscow. Then, what a particular come close, isn't it? So like that, I think the UN force must reduce. Then, one possibility is create unified forces on the regional basis. Then eventually, I think perhaps the later part of 21st century, or if not beginning of 22nd century, I think whole global eventually should be demilitarized. That's, I think, our goal, should be our goal. So that's the way. First, look ourselves. Try to become a genuine, peace-loving person. Not just a word. One time in the Soviet Union, they always called peace-loving nation. Meanwhile, prepare all these nuclear weapons. That's hypocrisy. We genuinely, when we talk about peace, firstly, our own way of thinking should be compassionate one. Then within our own family, whenever you find some disagreement, solve through human way, not by force, not by sort of
fight love.
Fight. And then our community, that's internal disarmament. Promote spirit of dialogue. Then that make example to other, same way. Then once we develop that kind of society, then leadership come from that society. I think leadership come from that kind of society. Their way of thinking will be different. But meantime, through education and through media, I think through various sort of concerns, or say the
circles,
I think should make more effort. So, then next question.
Last question?
Last two questions.
In less than a month, I will turn 50. In the half century of my lifetime, the majority of the world's population has never been truly free from war. If there was one ethical teaching or a principle you could communicate to those of us here today that could help bring about peace on whatever level and help to eliminate suffering, what would that be? I just said it. Yeah, I've just shared my thoughts on it.
Besides that, I have nothing special. So that's my basic belief. So we already discussed. The next question.
While there are more pressing issues to discuss, I'm almost embarrassed of my simple question. However, I'm confident that the audience will cover them. This leads me to ask my humble questions, which is, what type of music do you like? Let us say, when you are traveling or exercising, who is your favorite musician or singer? Frankly, I don't really have much interest in music, so if I were to say this, perhaps it might disappoint the artist who might be here.
Meantime, I of course admire or appreciate those people who are musician or singers. Of course, I think immediately you provide some kind of peace of mind to the large number of audience. Then secondly, I think some sort of message of love, message of peace, is it through music, through songs read. I think, really, I think cultivate, make, I think, very good impact in the minds of a large number of audience. So I admire. But meantime, I personally, no interest. Oh, I think they, not only interest, I mean, not only not interest, but also sometimes I a little bit irritated. Because I,
irritated by the noise.
Irritated, you see, because recently I was in Berlin, one hotel. I sleep there.
I stayed there.
So, you know, about 8 o'clock, I start to sleep. So then next block, one hall, I saw, you see, the different light, green or red or, like that, you see, there's some changing. Meantime, I heard, like that. So you see, that music remained whole night, lot of disturbance about my sleep. So sometimes
I tuck myself and cover my head with a blanket.
So, like mosquito, little irritation. Thank you. Thank you very much.